Okay, so we're going to talk about the second principle of faith of the Rambam. So before we read this is the longer version of the Rambam. This is from when he describes it again in Perek Hachelek, Perek Yudas Sanhedrin.
Who did the first we say Mishnah? Came up with the current, you know, that we say the Animamins?
We don't know. Okay. We don't know. We don't know who came up with Animamin. We don't know who came up with Yigdal. The longer version we know is the Rambam. Before we come up, when you think of Yichud Hashem, so how would you define that? What does it mean Hashem is one? What does that mean exactly? I think there are at least two possible definitions.
Indivisible.
What is it? You can't divide him?
I would say that in the College of Allegiance,
no? Okay. Okay.
Perfection.
So Yichud means perfection? So I would say Yichud, if you're saying it's perfection, then Yichud would probably be, and no one else is perfect. In other words, so Yichud would be singular or distinct. I'm just saying that's I think what you're getting at. In other words, perfect is tamim. No, but I'm saying perfect
it's
is tamim.
It's part of it.
Okay, but I'm saying Yichud, if it's indivisible, and that means you can't be divided God into two. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, I understand, but it means that there's something very that's unique about Hashem.
Yeah.
Yichud means unique, singular. Yeah. I think there's another possible definition of.
God is unique in his perfection.
Okay, right. He's unique in the most positive, the best way possible. Okay, fine. Okay, so one definition is singular, unique. Is there another possible definition of what does it mean, Yichud?
The whole Kabbalistic concept, no?
I don't know. What does that mean? broadly, without getting, I think, what else could... What does Achdus mean, first of all? Or Achdus, the Achdus of Hashem. It's not really, the Yichud, I think, means distinct. Achdus, we think of, what's Achdus? We want Achdus. What's Achdus?
Unity.
Unity.
Well, that's the whole Kabbalistic, isn't it? The different
characteristics of God. In other words, I don't think it only has to be Kabbalistic. I think that Yichud Echad can mean that all the different forces, powers, all the forces or all the powers out there is all centralized in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Yeah, there kind of has to be more than one, because doesn't the Torah, sometimes he says we, God says we in a few places.
Okay, so I don't know what that means exactly.
So it has to be.
Well, I would say even more than that. I would say one of the names of God is Elohim, which is plural.
Right.
So all the that's like, we're here maybe at that point. Right. So all I'm saying is on the surface, I think the notion of Hashem being Echad, and we say this a lot, right? Hashem is Echad, I think it can mean at least two different things. Either from Yichud, from being singular, distinct, unique, obviously in the most positive, perfect way possible, or also Achdus from everything, I don't know if it's Kabbalistic, I'm not sure. I think everything be unified into one, maybe it is. Okay, so let's just read the Rambam first, then we'll talk a little more. The Rambam says in Vayesod Hasheni, the second principle of faith is Achduso Yis'aleh. So this is God's Achdus, His unity. V'hu shezeh ilas hakol echad. We believe that the cause of everything is one. Lo Ka'achdus hamin, it's not like the member of a pair of species. Velo achdus hasug, not like a single thing. Velo kedavar ha'achad hamurkav shehu mischalek la'achadim rabim. It can't, like I said, indivisible. It can't be one thing that can be divided into different elements. Velo achad keguf ha'pashut, and he's not even like the simplest physical thing. Aval mikabel ha'chaluka va'pitul ad blisof. But God is something which is still at some point, even the simplest physical thing can be divisible. Elahu yisaleh echad, but God is one. Achdus she'ein, achdus kamoha b'shum panim. That God's unity is different than anything else that's unified. And he says, "Vizeya Yisod Hasheni, Mora Alav Ma Shenemar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." So then he cites this pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So it seems that he's mentioning that God is just, his unity is not like any other type of unity. So the Rambam writes, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, he was a former Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael. He died many years ago. And he wrote a work on the 13 principles of faith, and he asked the following question. He wants to know, how does the second principle of faith relate to the first principle of faith? What's the first principle of faith? That God is the creator of everything. Right? Right? God, first principle of faith is God is the creator of everything. So if God created everything, doesn't that mean that he's unique, that he's one? In other words, in what way is the second principle of faith different than the first? The first, if everything comes because of God, then that way God is unique. Right? So he asks, how is the second principle different than the first principle? And the way that he answers the question is he says that the first principle is, remember from last week, is that God is independent of anything. But if everything is God, God would still be there. But if you take God away, then nothing is there. So man is dependent on God, or all living things are dependent on God. God is not dependent on anything. That's the first principle of faith. But the second principle is what, at least according to Rabbi Weinberg's Zatzal, is that he thinks the focus, well, we had two different definitions, it's singular or the unified power. So he thinks it's the first, he thinks that this first idea, that God is singular, unique, he thinks, at least, that that is something that is really related to the first principle, because God is the source of everything. But when it comes to the second principle, it's that, essentially, all conflicting forces in the universe reflects one unity. Pleasure and pain have one source. That's this definition of Yichud Hashem. And he says that everything that happens to us, if you think, this is something that's very difficult for us to accept, in that, you know, one of the greatest challenges that we have is the challenge of theodicy, of tzaddik v'ra'lo, right? It bothers us why bad things happen to good people. So that's this principle. In other words, for us to really say that it's God who did this, which seems to be bad, and God, you know, we can understand the good God. But when something bad happens to us and then we attribute that to God, we say, you know, how could God do this? So that question, or that, if we, you know, reject, I can't believe that God would do something like this to me. So that believing, you know, having that challenge, that's the challenge of the second principle of faith. Second principle of faith is believing that everything that happens, you know, it's all good. Right? It's like that Gemara, I think, in Pesachim, which says that nowadays we say Hatov HaMeitiv on the good, and we say Dayat HaEmes on the bad. But in the Messianic era, we're going to say Hatov HaMeitiv on everything. Because in the Messianic era, we're going to realize that everything is for the good. Or I like to say, when we say Oseh Shalom B'Bromav, we Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, that Shalom from the world of harmony and completion, not just peace, but like harmony, that God makes shalom, bimromav. And, you know, bimromav, the Republicans, the Democrats, they're all shaking hands, they're all friendly up there. Now, everything's great. Up in Shemaim, all the conflicting forces, they all get along. And we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes shalom, bimromav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. Let there be shalom. We want to create some kind of, we want to try to find some kind of shlemus down here. So that, I think, that's how Rav Weinberg Zatzal understands this second principle,
he's understanding the second principle in the second.
Yeah, the second way that the uniqueness of the, because the first idea that God is basically unique, that in some respect you get that from Hashem, the fact that everything is dependent on Hashem, Hashem not dependent on anything, so that itself is. Thanks. So that's
you could say that there are differences between.
Right. Right. You could say that he is. It's hard. I mean, you're saying that's sort of what, that's God created everything. What aspect?
Uniqueness.
Yeah. I mean, what aspect versus? Okay. Maybe, right. You know, they're not sure if it's, you know, it's interesting because the language of the Rambam seemed to focus on the other aspect, that he's, that his uniqueness is different than everyone else's uniqueness. So it's interesting, even though Rav Weinberger Zatzal mentioned about the Achduso, the all the different forces into one, it doesn't seem to be the focus here if you look in the Rambam's commentary here, but he says, otherwise just like the first principle of faith. In fact, this also, what? It's kabbalistic, maybe, okay, I don't know. But also he writes that, you know, Rav, you know, Chazal, where they say that Noach was miktanei amuna, that Noach was lacking in faith, and this is a big question. Like, you know, how can you say Noach was lacking in faith? He built that ark, that teva, for 120 years. How can you say he was lacking in faith? So that's the Medrash says that the pasuk says that Noach went into the teva mipnei meha mabul. He didn't go in because God told him to go, and he went in because it started pouring, because he didn't believe that it was going to rain. How could he not believe it was going to rain? Hashem had been telling him for 120 years it's going to rain. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, he explains in Emes LeYaakov, he says that Noach believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he believed in the good God, but he couldn't believe at the end of the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy the world. It doesn't make sense, right? So this notion of that whatever something that seems very bad happens, and to believe that that's really God, and God's still in the picture, so to believe that, that's a very challenging principle of faith. That is this second principle of faith.
So according to that, Noah failed in this Yisod.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but he's not, well, that's Chazal says Miktanei Emunah. So we have to explain that.
Miktanei Emunah, and there's. Well, failing
in a yisod. Okay. Well, I don't know how developed these yisodos were at that point in time. You know, this is early on in the creation of mankind. You know, it's earlier on.
No.
I don't know. Okay. So now the source that the Rambam says, this is a mitzvah min haTorah, though. It's not. This is a mitzvah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So we have to believe that Hashem is. So what's interesting is that we're saying that what? Hashem, who is our God, is one. So what does that mean when we say that? Like, we do it every day, twice a day. We're saying that we have a special relationship with Hashem, but even though the God with whom we have a special relationship with, you know, also is Echad. Also is, you know, we have to believe that, it does, we have to believe that on the one hand, he's different than any other being that's out there. He's singular, or he has all the forces, but we also have a special relation with him. That's Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Hashem Echad means Hashem Elokeinu. We have the unique relationship, right? Hashem is Elokeinu, but then Hashem is also this Echad. That's the second principle of faith. Now, the way Rashi understands this, by the way, is that he says that the line that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, but in the future he's going to be Echad, and he cites the pasuk of V'haya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yomei Hashem Echad u'Shmo Echad. So what it could mean is that this principle of faith also requires unity to be a goal, not just a belief, but a goal, meaning that we have a responsibility to do what? What's our responsibility? To make, you know, in the future, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad u'Shmo Echad. Right? In other words, Hashem is Echad. What's it between Hashem Echad and Shmo Echad? What's the difference between Hashem Echad and Shmo Echad? What do you think?
The world will know that his name is that.
Right. What's shame? What does shame mean? It's reputation. Right, so now the Atah Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh, right? Hashem Echad, Shmo Echad. So Hashem Echad, right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one, but it's also a goal that in the future, that Hashem Echad, in the future, everyone will believe that all the forces, everything, good and bad, Shalom, Emes, Midas Adin, Midas Arachamim, it all really, you know, goes in. It's all really the same.
Will that happen because of things that we do, or will that happen because of things that God does?
It's not a general question of how you get to the Messianic era? Right? It's probably a general question. No?
Okay.
In other words, all right, so our job is to be in an Orla Goyim and to spread God's word to the nation. So how much will we do and how much will God do? Don't know. But I think we try to bring about the different questions of how you bring about the Messianic era.
Space laser.
Okay. Now, I just want to point out, if you just turn the page here. So this is a famous Maimonidean principle. When you say that God is one, so it's that the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim in Chelek Aleph, Perek Nunches, writes, so he says here that... that da ki tare Hashem yisparach bishlilut hu hator hamiti, that Hashem's right, he can only be understood by a negative attribute. Right, Hashem can never be understood. I'm sure, like some of you studied the Rambam, so you're familiar with this position that Hashem can only be described in a negative way. Asher lo sigu davar min hakal. Right, that won't include any incorrect notions. Vein bo chisaron. So if you refer to God with negative attributes, then you can get it correct and not get anything wrong. We need to know how negative expressions can be used as something as attributes. How is that different than positive attributes? So the Rambam says, I'm going to explain to you why you can only describe Hashem in negatives, not in positives. So he says here, an attribute does not exclusively belong to the object which it is related. Aval toar yeh gam kein torah lemetuar ve'imhu mishtatef bo im zulato v'lo yeh bo hityachadut. In other words, if you describe someone, you say, I mean, he's going to give an example here, but if you say that, if you're right, you say that God is blue, so that means God is like something else that's blue. So when you give God an attribute, so how do you know that attribute is correct? You must know what? That there's something else that has a similar attribute. So you can't give God a positive attribute. When you give God the positive attribute, then you're saying that, well, oh, it's just like this other thing, but God's different. So that's why to give a positive attribute is not accurate. And he gives a mashal here. He gives it an example. He says, Imra Isa ish mirachok fetisha v'tomar mazeh anira. If you see someone from a distance, you say, what is this thing? And you're told it's a living being. So this, you've certainly learned an attribute of the object that has been seen. So you've able to describe him a little bit. It doesn't exclusively belong to that object, right? It's a living thing. There are other things that are living things. You see, you look at something and you say, what is that? And they say, oh, it's a living thing. So you know it's not a plant. You know it's not a mineral. And also, if you know something's in the house, but you don't know exactly what's in the house, but you're told, right, you're told it's you don't know what it is, but what's in the house? It's not a plant, it's not a mineral. So you know, okay, it's a living thing. But you don't know what type of living being it is. So you can describe, you can describe something. If you describe something as something, so it belongs to a category. Whenever you give a positive attribute, it belongs to a category. So that's why the Rambam's of the view that because of God's uniqueness, because of his uniqueness, so that's the idea that all the powers fit into one, but also the notion of God's uniqueness, so the Rambam will say that we can't describe him as positive, but only something negative. And what's interesting is that we believe that God is beyond anything that we know about. So that's divine transcendence, that God is beyond anything, and yet, paradoxically, we can connect with it. It's a very strange concept, because we're saying God, we cannot describe at all what God is. He's beyond our understanding whatsoever, and yet, we cannot understand God at all, and yet, God makes himself available to us through prayer, through prophecy, through religious experience, through revelation. And these are obviously later principles of faith, and that's what's so paradoxical about our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because we can't really know God. I mean, there is a Kabbalistic idea that there are different parts of God, the Sefirot, are different ways by which we know Hashem. Then there's the Ein Sof, where we don't, there's part of God that we don't know at all. But what's interesting is that on the one hand, at least a non-Kabbalist, Maimonidean will say that, like, God, we can't have any positive descriptions of God because he's beyond all human understanding. And despite that, the miracle of that is that we can relate to this. Somehow we feel that we can connect through these media, which on the surface doesn't seem to make sense. Because he's beyond something that's beyond our understanding, we can connect through. God gives a method to connect with something that we don't understand.
You would say because there is some sort of commonality in intellect.
Right. There's some right. So you have to say that even though we can't describe it, there is some element that
God
we can attach
physical,
to.
Physical, and God. We have an element of ourselves that's not physical that we can.
Right. That could be the neshama, I guess. Right. That our neshama.
He would say.
Right. The Gemara in Brachos talks about the neshama can whatever it says, the intellect, whatever it is. I mean, there is a nasadam betzalmeda ki musaini, whatever that means, that part of God, that's whether it's speech, whether it's intellect, whether it's free choice, whatever that is. So that's the thing that through which we connect with that thing that we don't understand. That's the uniqueness, that relationship.